Okay, I was going to ask you that. So were there cases back in the day when you were in the force, and both of you, that if you had DNA, obviously it would have solved a case? Well, you didn't have that tool then.
No, we didn't have that tool. And other things, you know, many of these federal programs, these cold case funding programs, are for people to go back and pull their evidence and see what's DNA.
If it was possible to resurrect DNA out of whatever physical evidence was kept. And in many agencies, I can't say all, and I probably shouldn't say many, but once a case was declared closed, physical evidence was discarded. They knew it was never going anyplace, and they just threw the evidence away.
Now there's state law that says any forensic evidence, even if there's a conviction, you still got to keep the evidence.
That's right, in case there's an appeal.
A lot of agencies are going through looking for that low-hanging fruit to find those things.
Yep.
Up until in the past few years, CODIS, the
National DNA Database.
Yeah, wasn't there. So you would have DNA, but you'd still have to come up with the suspect to match suspect with crime scene DNA. Now, CODIS is going through an evolution. It's a very hard-fought battle to expand the usage. There's a lot of problems with it. I want to say it's probably over-regulated. The United Kingdom has got much better usage. They consider it a tool that they can work with, you know, looking for family members, if you will, of the DNA. Say, hey, okay, here's DNA left from the crime scene. We'll run it through the database. Wow, this guy's got to be the brother because of the DNA marker. So you go find that guy. Hey, who's your brother? Well, the brother obviously isn't in the system, so you've just used it to develop a lead, and then you match DNA to DNA. But in the United States, the FBI doesn't want that to happen. Some states have done it, have legislated themselves to be able to do it. California's one. They had a guy that they called the Grim Sleeper, who was a serial killer, who they found through his brother. But the way the system is organized, things are pushed through the cracks, fall through the cracks, whatever. So as a mission of the International Cold Case, we're trying to bring that awareness out and help with some legislation in different states to try to circumvent some of these things.
I think the root of your question really was, given the development of technological advances and changes in handling evidence, et cetera, could we have solved more cases back in the day? Yes, we could have. It's almost unbelievable today to look back and think of some of the cases that perhaps could have been solved if we had just had this technology or that technology. Having said that, there was a federal study 2 years ago on the use of DNA evidence in property crimes. Not very often used in property crime, maybe in armed robberies or maybe in some other crime. But one of the results of the study was that if DNA were to be used in property crimes, the result would overload the criminal justice system and therefore it should not be used. And that says a terrible thing about our ideas of what the criminal justice system should be doing and where we should be going with it.
One of the things that we see still to this day is with all this technology like DNA and the automatic fingerprint identification system and the ballistics tracking systems, case clearances are still at 58% on murders. It's a slightly downward trend even with this technology. So that's one of the things that we're trying to combat with the International Cold Cases is some training, some familiarization to resources, how to pool those resources, and then train you how to recognize what you have and match it with the resources out there.